Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. As the announcer stated, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this morning at 9:30 for Bible study and then for a period of worship, and also this evening at 5 and Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. We urge you to come and be with us, but if it's at all impossible for you to do so, log on to eastabbotville.org at those times, and you can both see and hear either the Bible classes or the worship period. Also, keep in mind that tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, Bible Crossfire. Pat Donahue has a program that alive, you can call in your Bible question, speak directly to him, and expect a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on WBSA, but if you're unable to pick up the station at that time and have satellite radio capability, tune to Sirius XM Channel 131. Please keep these things in mind. In Revelation chapter 12, it's in verse 10 that John said, "I heard a voice, a loud voice, saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time." What we want to talk about in our time that we have together this morning is, how do we go about defeating Satan? How do we go about defeating this dragon, as he is also pictured to be here in the book of Revelation? We know that when we talk about the devil, we're talking about mankind's greatest enemy. He is referred to several different ways in the scriptures. In Genesis 3, when we're first introduced to him, we read in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor should you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate." So we see truly the enemy that he is. He is the one that brought and introduced sin into the world through his deception of Eve and her following the deception with her husband. Truly is an enemy. But we see here he's referred to as the serpent. In 1 Peter 5, we read in verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So here he clearly is spoken of as an adversary. An adversary is an enemy, one that is not for us in any respects, but one who is against us. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So here, in speaking of the devil, Jesus says that he is a liar. So truly, this makes him an enemy. In 2 Corinthians 2, we read of another descriptive term in verse 11. "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So we see the word Satan is also a word used in referring to our greatest enemy. In Revelation 12, we read verses 10 through 12 a moment ago, but if we look back to verse 9, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So here we see a number of terms that are used to describe the devil: the great dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. And we see why he is our enemy, because he deceives. He deceives the whole world. And also there in Revelation 12, we see that the term dragon is also used, as well as this verse 9 that we just read. So he is man, mankind's greatest enemy. And this fight in our defeating of the dragon, defeating of the devil, this fight is on. If you're God's child, you've left Satan's domain. And Satan is a sore loser. He wants to get you back. Satan is relentless. And Satan cares nothing about you. He doesn't care anything about me. He wants to destroy our souls. So the question, can we defeat him? Or are we defenseless against Satan's onslaught? Now, God has given us the weapons that we need to defeat him. We can overcome him. And there in that passage that we read in Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12, we find that there are three points that are given to us that helps us to see what it is that we have that we can use in defeat of the devil. Reading those verses again, he said, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time." We see the first thing that we have to use in defeating of the devil is the blood of the Lamb. We read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, "Whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed." One of the reasons why that the blood of the Lamb is the means by which that we can defeat Satan is that it is the blood of Christ that appeases between us and God. Before, sin separated us from God. We know that from Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. "The Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So sin separates us from God. Sin puts us into a condition of being spiritually dead. But we see that through the blood of Christ, and if we will allow ourselves to go through the means of which God has made available, that we can come in contact with the blood of Christ and have our sins forgiven, that will be what it will take to appease God. And God has provided all of this for us through His Son. His Son came into this world. He bled, He died upon the cross. And now through His blood, we can have forgiveness of sin. We can defeat the devil who deceives us and tempts us to sin. But through the blood of Christ, we are able to have peace with God. Christ is that propitiation, the means by which we can no longer be separated from God because of sin. So by the blood of the Lamb, He has appeased. He is the propitiation for our sin. Also, we see in Romans 5, verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. So it is by the blood of the Lamb that we are justified. That word justified means to be made right. We were in sin. We were guilty of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is something that we do by choice. It's not something that we've inherited. It's something that we do by choice. And so we see that to be made right is to have our sins forgiven, to be justified. And that's what we have in the blood of the Lamb. In Ephesians 1, and we read in verse 7, in Him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So it is through the blood of Christ that we are redeemed. That word redeemed means to be bought back. We were with God when we were first born. We were innocent. We were not, as we said a moment ago, we did not inherit the sin of Adam. We neither have inherited the sin of our parents. When we are born into this world, we're born innocent. Jesus would call the children together on more than one occasion and say, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Or except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So little children, Jesus always held up as an example of this is what it takes in order to become a child of God. But yet, when we grow to that age where we know right from wrong and we again make that choice, it is our choice to sin, then we're separated from God, but we can be redeemed. We can be bought or brought back to God. But that's only possible through the blood of Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. So we're seeing how that we can defeat Satan. Not that, not only that, but in Colossians 1 and verse 20, and by Him, that is, by Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Again, we said a moment ago, sin separates us from God. We are not in fellowship with God because we walk in darkness. In God, there is no darkness. To walk with God, we must walk in the light. But it is the blood of Christ that helps us to have sins forgiven, to bring that peace that we have, that we need to have with God, peace because we no longer have sin in our lives. Our sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. So we've been made peace with God. To be at peace with God is to be at odds with the devil. But we must understand, to be in peace with the devil makes us at odds with God. We need the peace that we can have from God. And again, that's only made possible through the blood of His cross. And two, the blood of the Lamb purges us. In Hebrews 9, it's in verse 22, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. We know that under the law of Moses, God commanded sacrifices. In fact, we know all the way back to Cain and Abel that God commanded sacrifices, sacrifice of animals. This is another way of saying blood. Blood is that which is, as we've seen here in Hebrews 9, that things are purified. Under the law, sin was taken care of through the blood of the animals, but it could not be taken care of in the complete sense of the word. Sin could be atoned, but sin could not be forgiven. Sin could only be remembered. And so every year the high priest had to go into the most holy place of the temple or the tabernacle, and there with that lamb that was without spot and without blemish, he would offer the lamb for himself and for the sins of the people. But again, sin is only being remembered for the simple reason that it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. The blood that can take away sin is the blood of Christ. And so we see the role that blood has always played from Genesis through Revelation, that all things are purified through blood. And without shedding the blood, there is no remission of sin. But you and I need to be thankful that we live under the New Testament, that because of the blood of Christ that he shed upon the cross, we can no longer have sin remembered. We can have sins forgiven. We can have sin to be where that God will remember him against us no more. But also we see that the blood of the Lamb is precious. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, we mentioned a moment ago that every year the priest had to go into the most holy place with that lamb that was without spot and blemish and offer the blood of that lamb for the sins of himself and for the sins of the people. But now we see that we're not redeemed with those kind of things, neither are we redeemed with things like silver and gold, but we are redeemed with what is described as the precious blood of Christ. He was that lamb that was without blemish and without spot. And the blood of the lamb cleanses us. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're cleansed. We're made white. We're washed pure in the blood of the Lamb. And we see in Revelation 1 and verse 5 that word washed is used, that from Christ Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So that's why we see that that whenever we're baptized, it's not the washing in the sense of taking a bath for the sake of the flesh, but it has everything to do with the washing from our sins. That's accomplished in his blood, and we contact his blood when we are, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, buried with Christ in baptism. And we redeem, the blood of Christ redeems us to God. Revelation 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So we're able to be redeemed. We're able to be brought back to God. We're able to be brought back to that state of free from sin that we once had when we were first born. And the blood of Christ makes us white. Revelation 7, verse 14, and I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So now that we see how that we can defeat Satan through the blood of the Lamb, and we see all of what the blood of the Lamb is able to do for us, a question, a very important question that we need to ask, how do we get access to that blood? For the alien sinner, we see Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In Colossians 2, we read beginning with verse 11, In him, you who also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So that's how we are to access the blood if we have not obeyed the gospel. If we are a child of God and we sin, we again separate ourselves from God because of temptation and the enticements that the devil puts before us, then we need to repent and pray. In Acts chapter 8, we read of the case of Simon, the sorcerer in the city of Samaria. He had made people think that he was some great god because he had bewitched the people with his magic and with his craftiness. When he saw Peter and John, who had come from Jerusalem, after Simon had preached the gospel and the people of Samaria had obeyed the gospel and Simon himself believed and was baptized, he offered money to Peter and John that he could have the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, in so doing, he sinned. And Peter tells him, as one who has obeyed the gospel and has heard the word and believed it and obeyed it through baptism, to repent and pray that perhaps the thoughts of your heart be forgiven you. We're also told that in 1 John 1, verse 7, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we said that the devil is a liar. We read that in John 8 and verse 44. The devil deceives us. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman deceived, fell into transgression. Nevertheless, you will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. So we see what he does to deceive. He blinds, in fact. This is mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. And the result is sin. Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet we need to understand that we can have power over death. In Hebrews 2 and verse 14, as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject unto bondage. Friends, we need to love something more than our own lives. That we read too in Revelations chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. Paul did. We know in Acts 21 and verse 13, then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Certainly, our souls is something that we need to love more than our lives. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" The answer is obvious. There's nothing. It's not possible that we gain the wealth of this whole world. But if it were, not even that is sufficient to exchange for the worth of our soul. And yet that's what the devil is after. He's after our soul. We have a choice, God's way or Satan's way. So we need to learn what is truly important. Is it the temple, that which we see, that which we can have right now, that which we can taste, touch, feel, and handle? Or is it that which is eternal, that which is yet in hope? You know, Hebrews 5, verse 8, "Though he were a son," talking about Christ, "yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So then, we are in a death struggle. Our most valued possession is at stake, our soul. Let us not underestimate Satan. He is a worthy adversary. Don't fight by his rules. If we do, we'll lose. God has given us the keys to the victory. That is the blood of his son, the word of his testimony, and the fact that we need to love something more than our own lives. As we see a time drawing to a close, let us remind you again that this evening at 8 o'clock, Bible Crossfire will be on this radio station. Patrick Donahue conducts a 30-minute call-in program where you can call the number that he will give you and ask a Bible question that you may have had on your mind. If you do that, expect only a Bible answer for it. Keep this program in mind, and also we hope that you'll listen again on this station for this program tomorrow. We pray until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.